brainstorm.
Today's episode of Killer Means Awesome is brought to you by Excuse AI. From the company that brought you Choppy Streams comes the first and only AI-powered personalized excuse creator app. Need a credible sounding reason for getting out of something at the last minute? Well, you have no excuse if you're not using Excuse AI. And away we go. Episode 5, Killer Means Awesome podcast, Killer Inventions, episode 5, season 3. Dr. Troyer.
Dr. Geller, how are you?
Fantastic. Super excited. This is an episode in which you will be presenting an inventor or an invention. I get to sit back and just hear the great story.
That's the plan. I'm a little bit discombobulated.
Whoa, what the heck?
I got written up by corporate.
Whoa.
Were you aware of that?
I did see something. Didn't seem entirely positive, maybe constructive. What actually did you get called out for?
Bruh, I am back on probation. I forget. Are you on probation currently or did yours end?
No. Okay. No, I'm fine now.
I'm back.
Was clean slate for this, this season.
I'm back.
Uh-oh.
I was flagged for something I said in the episode which you did about the invention of the synthetic dye for the color purple.
Aniline dye, yeah.
Yeah. And you quoted some, you know, highly esteemed professor of something or other in England. And I guess later in the episode, I casually refer to that professor as the lady in Leeds.
Right. So, sort of like an Agatha Christie novel. You turned her into sort of a title of a potentially compelling book.
I mean, so the university is in Leeds, so that part's fine. I guess the lady part is, anyway, it got flagged. It was brought to my attention. So I'm on probation.
Sound too bad, right? On the spectrum of, whoa, I think we have to find a replacement. Like, that feels like barely a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, when I was a lawyer for a minute, I was always happy when I got my clients off with just probation, but it lands differently when you're the one on probation.
Of course. You know? Yeah, but I wouldn't take it, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like what you did was an infraction of a serious nature, in my opinion.
Okay, well, don't get yourself in trouble.
No, I wouldn't. But it wasn't Live at Leeds, was that? Was that the Who? Was that which album was that?
I don't know. I was not a. I mean, you know, I appreciate the Who, but I was not like a Who head.
They were aggressive, and I by nature wasn't super aggressive, so I didn't gravitate. But I did appreciate it. Before we get into the episode, first of all, anything in the mailbag this week, Dr. Troyer? Emails or anything?
Nothing of note. I did see a comment online, which was interesting to me. This was
everyone's a critic
review of our show, and it was.
I should set up one of those Google alerts, but of course, I wouldn't want my inbox to fill up.
You know, it was to the point. It said, "Good show if you listen at 1.5 speed."
Okay.
So, I think that was in relation to me.
No.
Sometimes and also, by the way, great tip. So that might be a way to enhance the listening experience.
I'm trying to think like for a minute, like I'm not necessarily offended because they didn't say just watch or listen to the first 5 minutes and then cut it. You know what I mean? Like they just want to get through it faster. They're so excited.
It's a great show at 1.5 speed. It did remind me of, do you ever do
like that Beatles album? If you play us backwards, all kinds of interesting things are said.
Yeah.
What?
Do you ever do the thing where you leave a message and then they give you the option, like if you'd like to review your message, you know, if you'd like to whatever. And I have occasionally
for OCDs. Trust me.
And
it's a great feature.
I have also a great feature for OCDs is I love the fact that I can now edit a text. Get in there and fix the punctuation.
But then it says edit. So it's
what?
Like,
who cares?
I don't know. I'm anal about that stuff. So yeah, I go back and edit everything.
But anyway, my point is sometimes if I listen to the message I'm about to leave for somebody, I'm like, buddy, speed it up. Like, it sounds so slow to me. So that might not actually be bad advice. Listen to the show at 1.5, or at least to the parts when I'm talking.
Well, I'm wondering if I could edit fast, like edit the file such that it automatically ups the speed. I think you can. I think I could make us
faster. Yeah, but I mean, I think you speak at a normal speed, whereas I'm going too slow. Okay, but that's it for Mailbag. Bring us up to date. Where did people tune in from?
Last episode, which was the Grace Hopper Dawn of the Information Age episode, brought us some listeners from some new places. So first, let's say hello to our listeners in Knox, Indiana. Sort of like Fort Knox, but it's just Knox, Indiana.
Welcome. Welcome. I mean, and Hoosiers. There's going to be, yeah, go Hoosiers. There's going to be a shout out to Indiana in this episode. Go ahead.
Wow. Awesome. So let's also say hello to the listeners in Pocatello, Idaho.
Oh man,
I mean, that sounds exotic. Sounds like a vacation spot.
Yeah, almost. I feel like they got a. Do they have some like a horse track up there or something?
I bet they do. Oh no, but is that the Poconos? That's New
know.
York.
I should know this. It sounds. I nice, got a though. Brother up in Idaho. I ought to know. There's something going on up in Pocatello, Idaho. Normally, I would say junior hockey team, but it's something having to do with racing. I could be wrong.
Okay. That's interesting. All right, well, we'll look that up. Finally, international, let's say hello to our friends in Mansfield, Nottinghamshire.
Whoa.
Nottinghamshire.
Yeah.
Sounds cozy.
Oh, it sounds like Robin Hood. Is that where Robin Hood went down?
Yeah, that does. Was that Nottingham?
The sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, the sheriff of Nottingham. Yeah, wow. Interesting. So who knows? But that's where we had at least two listeners.
Unbelievable.
Knox, Indiana, Pocatello, Idaho, and of course, Mansfield, Nottinghamshire.
Great.
There you go.
Well pronounced. Great to have those listeners. I still, it just boggles the mind that we're, people are finding us from all these random places. And that's a fun list. It doesn't even include Canada or South Carolina this time.
I know. I didn't. We did have Canadian listeners. They were repeat listeners. So I didn't want to necessarily, keep saying the same towns. We look for new listeners, new towns. These three really caught my eye. Super excited.
All right, let's get into it.
Episode 5, Dr. Troyer, what are we going to learn about today?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of info today. I'll try to it quick.
I'll get my notepad.
I'll try to, well, that's what I was going to say. There will be some quizzes along the way. And this week, they're not open books. So,
whoops.
Pay close attention.
Let me put that away. Okay. I'm going to hold my pen anyways.
We are going to move into an area which you are more of an expert in than I am.
I find that so hard to believe.
No. So feel free to weigh in with any. Yes. Okay. No, we're both pretty good at procrastination.
Yeah, that we are good. We're very good.
No, feel free to weigh in with any technical insights as we go, because I come at this whole program today from the point of view of a fan rather than a practitioner. And but you actually know how to move in this world we're about to talk about. Okay, I'm going to list today. To start, a few names, and I want to see if you can...
This is sort of like when you did the Shirley Chisholm, and you thought I knew everything about Shirley Chisholm, because yeah. I was like, oh, the Chisholm Trail?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no.
I was like, damn it.
I had no
that
idea.
That is a recurring fear of mine, that I'm going to start to present something, and you're going to already know all about it, and then we're just screwed.
No, I always think that, because I mean, we're not picking the most obscure people, right? Like, these are like pretty obvious to most people, I would think.
Yeah, but it might be entertaining one week if that happens, like, to see how it goes, where the other person has a lot of info.
Yeah, it'll be more like a debate.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you really think you know that person?
I'm going to read to you four names.
Okay.
And you can tell me what you think they may have in common.
Perfect.
Okay. Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, she's a singer. Okay.
Rye Cooter.
Another artist, musician, yes.
Dwayne Allman.
Oh, these are all music. Okay. Was he the one that went out with Cher?
No, Dwayne is not the one who went out with Cher. Dwayne was the brother of the one who went out with Cher.
Ah, okay. The Allman Brothers. Yeah. And then what was the last name?
And the last one is named Derek Trucks.
That name sounds familiar, too. These are all very famous musicians, and they all played that slide guitar.
Boom. You nailed it.
Wow.
That's what we're doing today. Slide guitar. I can't believe
someone actually invented the slide guitar.
Somebody invented slide guitar. We're gonna talk about it today.
Okay, can I tell you something? This is wildly coincidental, because I was recently listening to some music and I heard the slide guitar, and I always tell myself, I love the slide guitar. It sounds so cool. And it's also, but it looks a little silly the way they play it. Like it always makes, it reminds me of like a mandolin, like they're not a very cool looking instrument to play, but sounds amazing.
What are you thinking? Because there's lots of different ways to play it. So it's like, I agree that it sounds amazing, but then when you see the people doing like the lap steel or the pedal steel, right. Like that's a weird instrument. And it's like, wait, what are they doing over there? But then when you see like the way Bonnie Raitt plays it, which is like, she's just holding a guitar the regular way.
Wow. Okay. And so all of these people were famous for their prowess on the slide guitar.
Correct. Okay, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
As you correctly and somewhat unbelievably identified right out of the gate, all of the names that I listed, those are standout guitarists who play or played slide guitar, which is also known as bottleneck guitar.
When was the slide guitar invented? Or what year are we talking?
Slow down, cowboy.
Okay. Well, getting way ahead. Well, this is like after the break type of question. All right, yeah. Go on.
Okay. So the slide guitar, often associated with blues music, but it is also prevalent in rock and roll and country and western. And once you become familiar with that slide guitar sound, you can actually pick it out almost anywhere. It's really spread out through all kinds of music. So where did it come from? I had just assumed, like a lot of the best things in music, that it came from black people in the Mississippi Delta. That was just my guess, out of the gate.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
That is part of the story, but it's not the whole story.
Huh.
And the other thing I want to say is that this type of guitar, you know, the kind that we like, that we listen to, it's a relatively recent phenomenon. Like it doesn't go back hundreds and hundreds of years. It's kind of a 20th century situation.
And was a slide guitar, like were people playing, quote unquote, that style on a real guitar? And then they're like, you know what, let's craft a new instrument that is tailored to this new style of playing. Or was it, let's just invent an instrument that'll look so silly when we play it, but it'll sound so different and cool?
Fantastic question. More the first scenario. The story, strangely enough, our story today starts in Hawaii.
Aloha.
And you thought I just went there for fun over the break.
Right. No research.
You didn't know I was doing research.
Oh, that's why the receipts came. Okay. I see what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
You know what?
Yeah. Business trip.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what? Don't even submit those because I'm.
Tell it to Lizzie.
No. Because I'm already on the outs with Lizzie. I'm on the back foot with her. Right. So don't even pass along the receipts. I'm just going to eat that expense. Yeah.
Legally, I think you have to give us those miles. I mean, if we're paying for it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't pay.
You can't double dip. Yeah.
No, I just. Okay. Anyway, in the second half of the 19th century, so we're talking 1800s.
1800s in Hawaii. Not yet a state.
So good. You already, you know, it's like, where do you have this info? Okay. Sailors from Spain and Portugal who would stop in Hawaii, they were bringing over that, what they call a Spanish style acoustic guitar. But you and I, we would look at it and just say, that's an acoustic guitar. But back then it was called like a Spanish style guitar. So they were bringing it to the islands and it really caught hold in Hawaii, which, as you said, was not part of the...
Well, almost 100 years away from becoming a state if you're talking about mid-1800s.
How did...
We had to learn these facts. Like, you had to... This was like eighth grade.
I'm going to give you a chance to show off. Do you actually know what year Hawaii became a state?
I think it's like the late 50s. I guess unbelievable. 58 or 59. But I don't know the exact time.
It's
I don't
59. Know the exact time.
Okay, yeah, pre-Elvis,
dude,
going there to do his Blue Hawaii.
Okay, once the sailors from Spain and Portugal stop off in Hawaii and they're bringing this acoustic guitar with them, as I say, it really catches hold in Hawaii. And in the second half of the 19th century, there's a real flowering of guitar culture in Hawaii.
Right.
Everybody's playing
it. They weren't playing ukulele, they were playing guitar. Because I think of Hawaii, I think of like Don Ho and the Bubbles.
Exactly. And so, you know, obviously they have, you know, amazing percussion people over there and stuff. But I mean, guitars kind of come to the forefront and everybody's forming a band and, you know, guitars are part of it. And what they're using is a, okay, so a lot of them, again, as an actual musician, you'll know what this means, but a lot of them are playing that guitar in slack key or open tuning, right? So you can just sort of strum and it makes a chord, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it makes like, yeah, it's like usually you do it with like a few chords, like, and you just have like, you know, a few open chords, you play the song, it's all good.
Now, the other thing that happens in the late 1800s is we do start to see in Hawaii the use of a small steel bar, which
I thought you were going to say the emergence of like a wicked solo, like where it's just like,
you're going to have to,
we went from a three chord.
You're going to have to somewhere in this episode, just like, rip a little sample of what a, slide guitar sounds like, just, for our listeners. But anyway, so there's, we do start to see this at the end of the 1800s in Hawaii, is people using anything flat, like the back of a comb or like a, or a pocket knife, or
like that feels like of the blues, using a comb as part of the instrument.
Yeah. And guitarists are starting to slide that across the strings to create the gliding, bending kind of sound, which we think of today when we hear slide guitar.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. And it's also described as a sinuous or crying sound, which can even emulate the tones of a human singing voice.
Cool.
Okay. For the people in our audience who are actual musicians, two musical terms that are often mentioned in connection with this are glissando. That's the gliding between notes, and portamento. And that's something similar. Whatever.
Okay.
Now listen, there's debate.
It's not an olive.
There's debate about who exactly came up with this style of guitar playing. But one man in Hawaii who was at bare minimum one of the first like really proficient players of slide guitar and possibly the inventor was a young man in Oahu. Ooh. And he's by the name of Joseph Kekuku.
Nice name.
Okay, I'm going to spell it. K-E-K-U-K-U.
Phonetically works and spelled with a K, which is always fun.
Fantastic. Right? He's born in 1874. In 1889, his family sends him away to a boarding school, still on the island of Oahu, but it's in Honolulu.
Okay.
And he claims that it's during this time when he's in school, he's 15, when he accidentally discovers the technique of slide guitar. He's one of those Hawaiians who's just always carrying his acoustic guitar around with him, and everybody's guitar crazy back then in the late 1800s in Hawaii. Right. He says he's just walking along a road in Honolulu and just absentmindedly picks up an old rusty bolt, like just by the side of the road. And as he's picking it up and kind of tossing it up and down, it does hit one of the strings on his guitar.
No way.
Yes. This is when he's 15, and he, so later for a description of this, we're going to turn to the composer and music publisher C.S. Delano, who writes, Joseph told me that he was walking along a road in Honolulu holding an old Spanish guitar when he saw a rusty bolt on the ground. As he picked it up, the bolt accidentally vibrated one of the strings and produced a tone that was rather pleasing. Practicing for a time using the metal bolt, Joe then experimented with the back of a pocket knife, then with the back of a steel comb, and still later with a highly polished steel bar, very similar to the sort that is used today. Okay, so that's Mr. Kekuku.
So he just evolved pretty quickly,
yeah,
like the type of instrument or the type of tool to use. But I'm surprised he didn't change his name to like Rusty Bolt or like, you know, like a, or at least that'd be his recording name.
Yeah. Today, that would be the artist.
You'd have to.
Yeah. Rusty.
He'd be known as the Bolt.
Not a bad idea. So that's 1889. Arguably, that is.
So that's, he's the first guy to use an actual like bolt on the guitar.
Yeah. So we're going to, there's another theory about, or there's another strand to the birth of modern slide guitar, but the one that I just described is definitely a big piece of it. It comes from Hawaii, and that's part of what, okay, anyway, so that's 1889, and then then it's just 15 years.
And that's all happening in Hawaii. You know, it must have been really annoying, like, to sit out at a fire on the beach with your friends because, like, everyone's got their guitar.
Everybody's so
it's
got a
guitar. Hard enough to get one guy to stop, but now you got to get, like, 12 guys to, like, cut it out.
Well, also, can you imagine being a teenager, like, trying to meet a girl? It's like, unless you play guitar well and, like, with a slide, like, you're not going to get a girlfriend.
Is that a bolt in your pocket? Like, what are you playing? Okay. Interesting. Okay. So there's a little bit of debate.
A little bit of debate. Of the origins, and we'll get into that. But that is important. The end of the 19th century in Hawaii. And as you point out, there's the whole, just for bigger context, 1898 is when Hawaii becomes a territory of the U.S. Okay, so then they do a good dry run for 50 years, and then they become a state.
But they had a king, right? Like, there was a whole...
I think it was a queen.
Or was it a queen?
Yeah, and I think...
It was a royal family.
Yeah, and I think the U.S. did lots of bad things.
Ouch.
Okay, in 1904, our hero, Joseph Kikuku, travels from Hawaii to the United States. He starts performing his mystical, magical novelty act, this slide guitar, which wow, people just referred to as Hawaiian guitar or steel guitar. Now, steel guitar is really the same thing. When people talk about steel guitar, I think at some point I thought, oh, because it has steel strings. But they're really talking about that piece of steel that people use to play slide. So those are sort of interchangeable.
Right, because doesn't, like, didn't Keith Richards, like, he put something on his finger and it was like a slide, like he turned his guitar, like he'd use it on his guitar like a slide guitar.
Exactly.
Even though it wasn't a slide guitar.
Exactly. Yeah. So some of those people I mentioned at the top of the show, like Bonnie Raitt, that's how they do it. They play the guitar and it looks like they're just playing the guitar, but on one finger, they've got a slide on there.
Right. Because they don't want to look ridiculous. Because it looks silly when it's on your lap. It's like, it just seems weird.
Okay, we're going to get into all that. 1904, he travels to the U.S., and he's just in demand right from the get-go. He's able to just sort of make a living traveling, performing, you know, live shows or radio programs. The other thing he does, and then in 1919, on the back of success in the U.S., he starts with his band an eight-year tour of Europe. And so he's in Europe for 8 years and he's playing the Hawaiian guitar and he's, you know, surrounded by a whole group of people playing all the other stuff you mentioned, ukuleles and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, it's also a bit of a novelty act where, you know, they'll have like the people dancing the, you know, native Hawaiian dances and all that stuff.
Right. So there's pig roast, whatever.
So disgusting. In later years.
The limbo's funny. Like they might do the limbo, like, you know, with some fire on the sides. I don't know.
In later years, our friend Kikuku set up shop both in Chicago and then later in New Jersey, where he started popular music schools, which taught the Hawaiian style of guitar. And there was a little bit of a fad of that in the U.S. when people started hearing the so-called Hawaiian sound. There were Hawaiian music schools that popped up around the U.S. where you could learn like things like ukulele or how to play slide guitar. Or the other standout steel guitar player in the very early 20th century was a Hawaiian named Sal Ho'opi'i. Sal Ho'opi'i. Yeah. He comes to the U.S. in 1919 as a 17-year-old. He's a stowaway on a ship to San Francisco. Kikuku? Yeah, he did know him. So he's a stowaway. He's just 17. And within 10 years of arriving in the U.S., he starts to attract notice both for his steel guitar technique and for a couple of hit songs called Hula Blues and Farewell Blues.
Farewell Blues. Wow. So cool. I love it.
Yeah. As the author Peter Madison Madsen later wrote, Ho'opi's playing would influence a legion of players in rural Mississippi.
Hello. Is this like pre-Muddy Waters, or did they know each other in Chicago? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pre-Muddy Waters.
Wow.
So the legendary blues composer, musician, publisher, W.C. Handy, does that name ring a bell? W.C. Handy?
I do not know
He's
that
like
name.
An important person in, not so much for performing the blues, but just like collecting it and documenting it and sort of recognizing it as an art form. And he said the first time he ever heard slide guitar was when he saw a man singing and playing in a train station. He later wrote, W.C. Handy later wrote, as this man played, he pressed a knife on the strings of the guitar in a manner popularized by Hawaiian guitarists who used steel bars. The effect was unforgettable.
Wow.
Now, other people who were exposed to the sound, it was through radio. You know, they were hearing radio hits. One of those was a young B.B. King in Indianola, Mississippi, when he was growing up.
Wow.
He said, I would hear that Hawaiian sound or the country music players playing steel and slide guitars, if you will. And I hear that. And to me, steel guitar is one of the sweetest sounds this side of heaven. I still like it. And that was one of the things I tried to do so much was to imitate that sound. I could never get it, and I still have not been able to do it. But my technique of bending strings and trilling notes was giving me an approximation of that steel pedal sound that haunted my musical dreams.
Whoa, what a great quote.
Yeah.
And that's, he really like crystallizes what it means. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah. What a guy.
But you can really get the sense of his appreciation, like what it means to him. You know, he's very good at articulating that.
Yeah. And just the humility. It's like, okay, so I never, you know, I tried to learn slide myself and I couldn't do that. So I came up with other, yeah, I'm only B.B. King. Participation trophy for Mr. King, please. Now, the other thing that happens is, as you probably know, in the 1930s is when we start to see electric guitars. That's right. The very first ones are developed.
Although you have to admit, there's something kind of funny about thinking of B.B. King and these guys in the South listening to Hawaiian music and then being blown away by it. Like, that just, like, that's their influence. That's an interesting influence.
It's
for them.
Insane to me. I could not. That's why I was like, oh, you know, I love slide guitar. I should look into that. And I was like, bottleneck guitar. Just, I remember when my brothers taught me about, I mean,
so
quick
cool.
Shout out.
It's bluesy.
Quick, yeah, shout out to having older siblings is you always have good musical taste if you have some older siblings. So they were like teaching me, you know, telling me about like, oh, check this out. You know, this person has a slide on their finger. Anyway, I assumed it was all like, yeah, this came from Mississippi. That Hawaii had anything to do with it is absurd. But
that's insane. But like, true. That's almost like burying the lead. It's like, hey, guess where? What? Like, he's listening to some guy named Cuckoo Cuckoo? Like, Muddy Waters? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's good you keep mentioning Muddy because he's going to come up.
Well, that's a Chicago guy, man. That's Chess Records. That's Muddy Waters.
100%.
You know, very famous in Chicago.
Yes. And Chicago is going to figure. But so electric guitars first start to get developed in the 1930s. And that opens up a whole new area for slide playing, as well as the development of instruments like lap steel and pedal steel, which really catch fire in country and Western music. But, you know, once you amplify it, then people can really hear what an unique sound this is. And one of the greatest pedal steel players of all time is a guy named Buddy Emmons. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not heard of him.
His nickname was Big E.
No.
He
Big E. I've heard of Big E.
Yeah, well, Big E. We also used to call Elvin Hayes that, who played for the Washington Bullets.
Yes, Bullets, yeah.
Okay, but anyway, this kid, Buddy Emmons, grew up in Indiana, so that's why we have the tie-in to our listener at the front of this show.
Completely by chance, but yes, perfect.
He got his start, Mr. Emmons, as an 11-year-old when his dad signed him up for a Hawaiian music school in South Bend, Indiana.
What?
And this kid, Buddy, turned out to be an absolute prodigy and became one of the greatest steel guitar players.
From South Bend, Indiana?
Yeah.
Like Notre Dame, Golden Domers.
Yeah. Is that a sore subject? I know that, are they considered a rival of your alma mater?
No. I mean, I'm not a big fan, but it's just that's where they're located.
I still think it's crazy that these Hawaiian music schools had sprung up all over the U.S. But as you started to get to, the Hawaiian angle is not actually the only angle. There is another school of thought, especially down south, that at least in part, the development of slide came from a primitive instrument you may have heard of. I was vaguely aware of it, called the diddly bow.
I have not heard of the diddly bow.
Which as I say it, occurs to me that that must be where the performer Bo Diddley got his name. But the Diddley bow is like a one string instrument. It's like, it's just like a single.
Now that's an instrument I might be able to play.
Exactly.
One string?
It's just like a single string back in the old days of baling wire, and it was across a long board. And then there's a box at one end to sort of amplify the sound. And it was sort of, supposedly it was like a starter instrument for young people, you know, especially down south, like kids who wanted to like join in on the playing. And it was just this sort of, it was an instrument.
It's like banging on a bucket type of thing.
Yeah, it's an instrument that a lot of people then graduated beyond. But even that thing, the diddley bow, there apparently was a tradition down south of using some sort of hard object against that. So some people say, you know what, it's both the Hawaiian thing, where, because that's the first time we heard people like really carefully playing it across six strings. But they said, you know, with the diddley bow, people would slide things across that also to make weird noises. And in that diddley bow, which they're kind of fun. If you look up like...
They sound great.
Yeah, if you look up like...
Sound like easy to learn.
Archival pictures of diddley bows and stuff, like old ones from the rural South. They're kind of weird, cool looking objects. But even those apparently may derive from similar single string instruments in West Africa originally. Okay.
And did the diddley bow, what year was the diddley bow
popular?
I
think people have been using those since, you know, that's a good question. Diddley bow could be like episode 7. I might do a whole separate episode on
it. I might jump on the diddley bow. I might do steel drums. You've got me thinking. But before we continue, let's hear from our sponsor and then continue with post diddley bow, history of the slide guitar.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ever wanted to get out of a lunch plan at the last minute, forgot to call mom on her birthday, or just needed a plausible reason to take a day off from work? Well, you're in luck. From the creators of Choppy Streams, the only browser-based video scrambler to get you out of those endless Zoom meetings, comes Excuse AI, the first AI-powered personal excuse creator app. Excuse AI leverages a robust set of data, including real-time geospatial information, to provide you with a personalized and optimized, unquestionably credible-sounding excuse. Excuse AI tracks and stores your history of excuses, so you'll never use the same excuse twice or get caught using conflicting information. And if you want to take your excuse to the next level, try Excuse AI Premium and turbocharge your excuse with irrefutable support in the form of AI-generated documentary evidence. This can include emails, photos, even voice recordings. The days of "the dog ate my homework" are history. Sign up for Excuse AI today with code KMAPODCAST and you'll receive 25% off your first 5 excuses. Not using Excuse AI? What's your excuse now? You know, Colonel Troyer, I'm going to pull a little bit of an audio trick in this episode. And let me just tell you what that is.
Yes.
Instead of that transition music that we just heard us coming out of our commercial break, I'm going to see if we can't replace it with some steel guitar.
Are you kidding?
So what we just heard was steel guitar. How'd you like that steel guitar? I mean, that's what you're thinking, right?
That's when you think of the ridiculous. Steel guitar. That is what I think
of. It's a famous piece.
It's a famous piece.
Yeah. Well, let our listeners see if they know what it is. If they know who's playing that, they can send an email.
By the way, wrapping up on the diddley bow, if you go onto YouTube, there's a guy named C6 Steve.
C6 Steve, okay.
And he plays a song called Diddley Bow, and he plays it live on a diddley bow, and it just gives you an idea of what that thing is. It's rudimentary, but he's very good at it. I mean, the instrument's rudimentary, but he's very good at it. And it is pretty cool. In the 1930s, guitars, as I said, they go electric. That opens up a whole new realm of sound. And so then some of the slide guitar players that are who are, you know, making noise are Elmore James, Robert Nighthawk, Earl Hooker, and your friend Muddy Waters.
Hello.
Those are some of the leading players in the early days of electric slide guitar.
So cool. Yeah, they really took it to the next level.
So, and as you said, you know, Muddy Waters is working in the nightclubs in Chicago, and, you know, that's pollinating. People are hearing that, and then they're starting to use it elsewhere. The Rolling Stones, I think we can mark sort of the arrival of slide guitar in rock music around 1963 when Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones plays slide on the Stones' second single, I Want to Be Your Man.
And they were pretty bluesy. Like, it makes sense that they incorporated that.
Yeah, it's just such a weird concept English people like rip off, you know, black blues from the U.S. In the U.S., in Chicago, in your native city, the young Mike Bloomfield studies slide players in the city's blues clubs. And then with his bandmates Paul Butterfield and Elvin Bishop, he forms the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. Hmm. And their first album in 1965 really showcases Bloomfield's slide playing. Bloomfield, incidentally, also plays slide on the Bob Dylan album Highway 61 Revisited. Yeah.
Oh, so he's like the guy.
Yeah, he's a Chicago guy. Another prominent slide player in the 60s and 70s is this guy, Ry Cooder. Right.
He was like the genius guy.
He's a prodigy. He worked with Taj Mahal, Captain Beefheart, the Rolling Stones, Neil Young, John Lee Hooker, many others. He was a child prodigy. He started playing guitar at age 3.
Oh, my God.
Born and raised in Los Angeles, went to Santa Monica High School. And a fun fact, it's not a fun fact, but it's a fact about Ry Cooder, is from the age 4 onward, he had a glass eye.
What?
Because he accidentally stabbed himself in the eye with a knife.
Oh, my God.
As a child.
What? Yeah. That is insane. He's a one-eyed guitar player?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Another legend in slide guitar is Duane Allman of the Allman Brothers. Unfortunately, Duane did not get to live long enough to date Cher. Duane is the one who died at the young age of 24 in a motorcycle accident, but not before recording all sorts of masterpieces, including the slide guitar in the classic rock standard Layla.
No, Derek and the Dominoes. Oh my gosh, he did?
Yes.
Wait, that was Duane Allman on that?
That's record? Duane Allman playing slide guitar. And Duane Allman's, one of his contributions to slide guitar is whatever he was doing with his playing or with the tone or the however he did it, he really brought out, he could make the guitar sound like a harmonica.
Wow.
And so, anyway, a good song. Yeah. A good song to hear that effect is the Allman Brothers do a live version of the song One Way Out on their album called Eat a Peach. And on that, you can really hear some of the signature slide guitar. Now, the slide, which people use, which they, you know, slide across the strings, that can be made out of metal or ceramics or glass or really any hard material. The
glass. Wow.
Yeah, the late, well, bottleneck guitar, you know, some people play with something that almost looks like a beer bottle, but, you know, but just the neck of it. The late Irish guitarist who
you
sometimes
called, you know what I mean? Like you're playing guitar, it flies off your feet. I don't know. It seems impractical.
Yeah. It's fun to watch the YouTube videos on how to play slide guitar because you find out all the weird little techniques and all the, anyway, there's a.
Well, the different portamentos, right?
Sure.
You're sliding from
now. You're just showing on. You know what? I'm going to just proactively give you 100% on the pop quiz.
Okay, good. I'll be quiet.
You said portamento. There's an Irish guitarist. Unfortunately, he also has passed, as they say. He's sometimes called the greatest guitar player you've never heard of. His name was Rory Gallagher.
Yep. Never heard of him.
He played a nice slide guitar, and he always used an aspirin bottle.
Oh,
yeah.
Bizarre. I guess like a trademark.
Sure. Different players use the slide on different.
Because then it'd be like shaking. No. Okay, empty.
That could be a cool sound if you add that to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, you can imagine, though, that with guitar players, the hangover is an issue sometimes. And so you got the bottles of aspirin laying around. It's handy.
Someone's getting cut.
That was the old days, though. Everything. It was like before plastic. Different players favor different fingers. Usually you can use the slide either on middle finger, ring finger, or pinky finger.
Okay.
Two of the standout performers in the modern era are Bonnie Raitt.
Yes.
Dropped out of Harvard. Just imagine what she could have done if she had just gotten her degree.
She's such a great
songwriter. She could have really been successful.
Yeah. Poor Bonnie.
That's another one. It's insane. If you go watch her live performances, like in the 70s,
yeah.
I mean, already a genius. Yeah. Just like the whole package.
Huge. Yeah.
And then another one is Derek Trucks, who played for a while. He's an interesting character in himself. His uncle was the drummer, one of the drummers for the Allman Brothers. Huh. And this kid, Derek Trucks, was, again, a guitar prodigy. He was one of those kids who could play Layla at like 6 years old beautifully. Today, his band is called the Tedeschi Trucks Band. But what I would say is people who want to see like really tasty slide guitar, just go on YouTube, pull up either Bonnie Raitt or Derek Trucks, watch them play. Now, another guitar hero that you may have heard of, Jimi Hendrix.
I've heard of him.
Yes.
Sounds familiar. Yeah, electric guitar player.
Not known for slide guitar, but he does play it on one of his best known songs, which is a cover of the Bob Dylan tune All Along the Watchtower.
Yeah, it's a great version. Yeah.
If you get about 2 minutes into that song, you can hear the part where Hendrix is playing slide guitar.
Wow. Okay, I'll definitely check that out.
And for that one, he used his Zippo cigarette lighter. That's what was the slide on that track.
Wow, that's cool. See, that's way better than glass.
It's just cool.
Because he lights things on fire, you know, like he's lit the guitar on fire, like he's got the lighter. You never know what's going to happen.
I once learned guitar for a minute. Like I just, like kids were learning like electric guitar and they had a person coming and teaching that. And the woman's like, oh, you want me to teach you? I was like, yeah, sure. You know, show me the basics. The one thing I wanted to learn and then I quit was the way, you know, just a basic sort of version of the way Jimi Hendrix does the national anthem.
Oh, good.
At Woodstock.
It's going to take you 20 years.
Like, no. I mean, I was just like plunking out the I was just basically plunking out the very basics of the national anthem. But there's something about the national anthem, like through an amplifier, and then the way he distorts
incredible.
It. It sounds like the freaking Vietnam War is exploding in the background while he's playing it. Okay, so some of those early Hawaiians are definitely playing the guitar flat on their lap. And so that's the direction that when new musical instruments get developed, like the lap steel and the pedal steel, and those are weird looking things that like you say, you see the person hunched over it,
right.
And they're just sort of moving their hand back and forth as if they're doing like a Ouija board or something.
Silly, yeah. You don't need to introduce silliness into the instrument.
It's silly, but they sound so good the old-time country music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks absurd.
Looks absurd. But then other people, you know, play slide or bottleneck with the guitar just in the regular,
way
posture. That's much cooler.
Yeah.
The man that we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Mr. Kekuku.
Yes. What happened to him?
He died in Morristown, New Jersey at the age of 58.
That was
cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh, no. Track.
Yeah, if you're ever in the Morristown, or actually it's in nearby Dover, New Jersey, if you're ever there, stop by the Orchard Street Cemetery. That's where he is buried.
Okay.
Mr. Kekuku. He is a member of the Steel Guitar Hall of Fame. I bet you didn't know that there was a Hall of Fame for steel guitar.
Is that in Hawaii?
It is. They're still looking for an actual
permanent
facility.
Location, kind of a traveling exhibit.
It's more of an online community, but they're based in St. Louis and they are looking for a building.
Well, we'll see if any of our listeners, you know, is there something sort of sad about Kekuku, the Hawaiian ukulele or slide guitar he dies early in Morristown, New Jersey? It's a bummer.
It's weird. It is a bummer. Have you ever been to Morristown?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's fantastic. But he's like a Hawaiian. Like, what is he doing in New Jersey? Like,
yeah, at 50, he was running a music school.
Right.
And, Yeah.
He's wearing galoshes. Like, he should be on the beach in Hawaii.
I'm always fascinated by where people are buried. I love cemeteries.
You do like cemeteries.
And so it, yeah, it's just weird that this dude who helped sort of lay the groundwork for all these things that, you know, like Hendrix and this and Dylan and Muddy Water, whatever, it is right. Weird. Like, he's buried at the, you know, Orchard Street Cemetery in Dover, New Jersey.
Yeah.
There's also a statue.
I went to Billy the Kid's grave.
No way. Where is it?
I think it's in New Mexico. I was driving across country with a friend of mine.
I love New Mexico. I feel like we need to build out our listener base in New Mexico.
Yeah, we haven't had many. I'll have to look. Maybe one from Clovis once. I'll check.
Cool. There is also a statue of Mr. Kikuku on the north shore of Oahu at the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Oh, so, I thought you said Morristown.
No, north shore of Oahu. If you want to, and I'm about to wrap it up, but if you want to go back and hear what some of the earliest Hawaiian steel guitars sounded like,
yeah,
I would recommend to you a good compilation album, which is available wherever you listen to music, and it's called A History of Hawaiian Steel Guitar.
Okay.
And these are mostly instrumental. So a lot of these early Hawaiian, it's just the instruments, but you can hear the sound, and it's weird because it's cool. You can see, oh, that's the sound that then all the black performers in Mississippi fall in love with, and then they incorporated it into their blues music. But it's...
And then it ends up in the Rolling Stones and Bonnie Raitt. It's like it just goes everywhere.
Yeah. It's an amazing...
It is. It's almost like a voice. Like, it's almost like someone singing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really cool. Fantastic. Wow. I had no clue like about any of this, which is so strange because I really love... steel guitar. Like, I love the sound of slide guitar.
I'm kind of hoping that you'll, because you are proficient. You're able to play drums. Nah. You're able to play guitar. You do all the music. You do all the music for our show. You just, you know, You're a man of many talents. So I was kind of hoping that at some point you'll pick up slide guitar.
Won't do. But I do have some aspirin bottles. Like, maybe I'll experiment tonight. Who knows?
Yeah.
But glass seems dangerous.
Now, so that's a wrap for episode 5. Are we going to tease episode 6
today?
We're
not. We're not going to tease it.
Yeah. You're going to have a hard time topping hard drinking Grace Hopper.
Unbelievable. You got to check out her videos, like of her on Letterman or one of her 60 Minutes segments. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
Amazing Grace. Fantastic episode. We will see everyone next week with episode 6. Of Killer Inventions, season 3 of Killer Means Awesome, the podcast. See you next time.
Aloha.
Brainstorm.